Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Really excited to welcome to our program today best-selling author Ruth Logan Hearn. We're going to speak with her not only about her literary journey, but what it's been like for her to entertain readers, as well as share some important messages. She's been able to continue that in her book and her new series, Back in the Saddle. We're going to talk to Ruth not only about this book, but also the importance of the message that all of us can benefit from, and that is when life knocks you down, how you can make it a reassessment, how you can have the faith to get up, and how you can keep moving forward. We'll talk to Ruth about how that is definitely proved true for her, but also what she hopes you as readers are able to realize about that truth for yourself. Ruth, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Hello, Cyrus. I'm very glad to be here. Thanks so much for having me today.
Hey, the pleasure is definitely all mine. I was just saying to you before we went back on here that I think this is your very first time on our program, which is an honor for me for sure. But, I mean, readers literally around the world, Ruth, have fallen in love with your characters, with your stories, and definitely with the messages you've been able to share. I mean, what has that part of the journey been like for you to not only do what you love, but to see the way that it's impacting readers?
Oh, Cyrus, I have to tell you that I still wake up amazed that I am living the dream that I always felt was my destiny from the time I was a small child, that someday I would write beautiful stories that help people's hearts. And when it finally was happening, I was amazed, and yet there was this little part of me that always felt like the Holy Spirit was sending me in that direction and just kept saying, slow down, be patient, do your other jobs first, raise those children.
Yeah.
And then it will all unfold. So the journey's been amazing, wonderful, and I love that people are falling in love with my characters. That is just like the best thing ever.
Wow. It's an amazing thing. And I think, you know, Ruth, for so many people out there who feel as though they have a story to tell, I mean, I think, as you just shared, I think the key is realizing that this is why you're here. And I think, you know, that is a purpose that all of us, I think, when we're able to embrace it, means so much. Your characters are able to realize what their passions are. Do you think that's also part of the connection that readers feel with the characters? They see so much of not only themselves in them, but also what they would hope to be in themselves.
Oh, I think so. I hope so. I mean, that's always the goal, because we're human and we're fragile vessels in so many ways. We ride a roller coaster of life that goes up and down, and there are good things and bad things that happen to every one of us. And I think it's really important to know that when those things happen, the good and the bad, we need to roll with them, not expect too much and not settle for too little, and then keep trying and keep striving to be the best we can be, or to regain a hold on whatever it is and climb back up so that we're on level ground, because we know life can knock people down. It's just that way. So I hope when people pick up one of those stories and they identify with a character, that that character's eventual success or growth strikes them as, yeah, me too. I can do this.
Yeah.
Because they can. We all can.
Exactly. So true. We're definitely going to talk about that with Coach Stafford for sure. You know, I think the other thing is, when I was prepping for this segment with you, Ruth, the thing that struck me that I think is again, unique to great storytellers like yourself, and I mean that in all sincerity, because I think it's one thing to write something down. It's a totally another thing for someone to get something out of it. You know, but I think for you, you've been able to tell stories that center around women and men that I think are not only relatable, but also, as you just said, they strike a chord. When I was reading this book, Back in the Saddle, I thought, wow, you know how great this is that a man can pick up this book, because sometimes we get a little leery of some books, you know, that we look at and say, okay, can I walk around with this and people not question what I'm reading? But when I was picked this book up, I thought how great that it has a guy here that is so relatable, so strong, and yet so flawed and determined all together. I mean, what was that like for you to know that you're able to write these books that men and women can appreciate, Ruth?
You know, this is a big step forward for me. Not only back in the saddle, I've been picked up by a couple of publishers that let me write bigger books, because I had been writing just absolutely lovely category romances, and I love them. For Love Inspired, I love them. But these books give me a chance to delve a little more into the story of the people, their background, their town, their family dynamics. And Cyrus, these days, there are just so many family struggles that abound around us and problems. So it's just wonderful to be able to step into this role where I can give a little more time to the male characters, because men are absolutely wonderful and marvelous and delightful and very confusing at times. It's a whole different kind of dynamic when you're writing their character versus the woman's character, which it should be. I mean, isn't it? That's how God created us. But
exactly.
I love that men are relating to this book, that I've gotten emails and notes and tweets that men are like, yeah, you nailed him. And that's perfect. That's all they need to say. They don't have to, you know, gush or anything. Just knowing that they feel that way was like, all right, did it good.
Yeah, I think that is so true. And the character that we meet in Back in the Saddle, called Stafford, for those who have not read the book yet, we're going to tell you a little bit later how you can get it for yourself. As much as I would like to, I'm going to actually hold back so that I won't spoil anything, Ruth, for those who have not read the book yet. So I'll talk around some things. But the first thing that I do want to talk about is the fall. And I think the fall can be, I mean, such a powerful thing for all of us, both literally and figuratively and spiritually, quite frankly, as well. I mean, I think that is such a great place for you to kind of go, because I think in life, as we're going through whatever our journey is, when we hit that snag, when we hit that rough spot, the choice is there at that point as to what we're going to do. What was it like for you to build that choice for Colt as to what you were going to do when it seemed as though hope was lost?
Well, when I started working with the idea of Colt, I wanted a story, a modern-day retelling of the prodigal son from the son's perspective. But the son was not going to be somebody who was down and out to the aspect of that he'd gone out and floundered and carelessly spent his father's money and took all of his inheritance. Colt's leave-taking was out of anger. Anger that life hadn't gone his way, anger that his father had not loved him the way he thought a father should, anger that he'd lost his mother. So when he had amazing success on Wall Street and then it fell apart, he didn't have a whole lot of places to go, because Wall Street is unforgiving. Manhattan is somewhat unforgiving at times if you don't have money. And at the very same time, because his dad, who has a lot to make up for, is suffering from an illness, he realizes his father needs help. So they both have a chance. But you know, human nature being what it is not easy to take hold of those chances, to swallow your pride, to practice humility, and come back home. So I wanted a big part of this story to be that, yes, you can come home, whether it's home to your hometown, home to your family, that it's usually not as bad as we make it out to be in our heads, and that there's quite often a lot of people who will lovingly embrace you, just like we saw in that beautiful biblical story. So, but building Colt was a little different, because I had to make him fairly chiseled, fairly hard-edged. He's a tough guy. He wrote his own success in a way very different from his father, and he wanted to show his father up with that success. So the fact that it failed is a real tough thing to swallow when you're in your 30s and you're kind of swallowing your pride and having to ante up and come home. And then there's a brother.
Yeah.
There's two brothers, actually, but there's one that's home running the ranch, and they had not gotten along. He'd stayed home. He'd taken care of business, and now here's Dad welcoming the other one home. So those things are very real in today's society, just like they were back when Jesus was telling that beautiful parable and teaching with it, because families are very dynamic vessels that, boy, you're coming at it from a lot of directions in a family, aren't you? I mean, anybody who has children knows that each one is different and distinct, and they don't always get along. You'll have some that are best buds, and others that are just kind of like at each other's throats, and you're like, what? They're from the same family, your family. But I think that's normal. And so it was a challenge, but also just absolute joy. And because I had my son Luke, who has been working hedge funds in Manhattan the past few years, as my expert advisor on how to do the Kohl's financial aspects, that was way fun. Who doesn't want to work with one of their kids and get advice from them? And he thought that was really wonderful that he could give his mother advice, because I'm fairly bossy. And so the tables were turned, and he liked that.
Right. You know, it's so interesting, though, with Cult, too, I want to say, and again, I don't think I'm spoiling anything with this, Ruth, but there was an interesting backstory there when it comes to belief and what was possible. And I think that is what happens to so many of us, which is why I think this story is so good, because it reminds us that no matter where you come from, that forgiveness can be yours. I mean, moving forward can be yours, and that happiness can be yours, regardless of how you see your current situation. You allow us to know from Cope's background that it wasn't, you mentioned the father, it wasn't as if the father wasn't, you know, totally involved in all aspects of his life, because you have the one example of church where, you know, he's talking to the mom and wants to know, well, you know, why do I have to go? You know, dad doesn't come. You know, and so there, you know, there's that whole thing. I mean, what was that dynamic like, that layer for you, Ruth, to show that even though, I mean, he had his mother there who said, okay, you know, this is what you should be doing, regardless of whether your dad does it or not, this is what you should do. What was it like for you to add that layer to show that that's one of the things also that Cole had to deal with about the idea of faith and its role in his life?
I think that little inkling that you got from the beginning of his life, and I'm so glad you brought that part up, because Colt didn't experience a whole lot of faith building once he lost his mother. And those early instances were that little background of hope that had sprung in the small child and then finally is able to come through later on in the grown man, because first his mother was honest with him. She told him to pray for your daddy. Daddy should be here too. Pray for your daddy, Colt. And to layer in just that little bit of what he knew his mother longed for him, was able to give him the strength when he was older to long for it more for himself. I think we sometimes forget that those little paths that we set small children on will eventually evolve into greater paths as teenagers or adults, and we hope for good ones, right? Anyone with children wants those paths to come to fruition as beautiful roads to salvation and a happy home and all of the good things we wish for our children. So setting that up with Colt was crucial to him being able to believably accept life and move on later on, because without that, I think we would have been missing a really important component of that childhood development. And because I've got six kids, and I've helped with running my own little daycare for, I don't want to tell you how many years, I've helped to the development of a lot of other people's children. I see those little bits and pieces, and now that these children are growing, I can see how it comes to fruition, and that's a wonderful thing. That's what we all hope.
Exactly. It goes back to, again, to that great proverb, you know, when they grow old, you know, they won't depart from it. And maybe they will come back to it. I think that's a great segue to Angelina and her role in this. I want to read something that you wrote in the book that I think kind of shows the connection and the mystery, I think, that Colt feels when it comes to Angelina. For those who have the print edition of the book, it's in Chapter 9 on page 182. This is what you wrote, Ruth. He knew it. He'd known it from the beginning. Well, maybe not when the gun was pointing at his heart, but not long after. She drew him. Worse, he wanted to be drawn. But what possible end could there be? His future wasn't here. It had never been here, and from the sounds of things, neither was hers. The two things that really struck me was not only, of course, him falling for Angelina, but I think also the idea of wanting to be drawn. I think, you know, that was something, because it goes to that natural need we all have of wanting to be loved, wanting to be accepted.
Sure.
Was that part of the fun for you in crafting their dynamic, is that regardless of how they may have appeared, they both wanted more out of life, and they both wanted to be able to find love?
Oh, absolutely. I love romance. And I don't mean romance in any cheesy style, but to me, the gift of love between a man and a woman, the gift of marriage and sanctity, I think that is just a wonderful thing that we kind of take for granted sometimes. And as I'm weaving a romance into a story, I want that celebrated. I want people to be like, yes, they should be together, because there's so much that comes from that beautiful longing for one another. And, you know, I never get into a whole lot of sensuality in books because I don't think it's necessary. I love the warm emotions. I would rather evoke emotions of that longing than describe them, because to me, it's those emotions. It's that feeling inside that I can pledge myself to this person in thick or thin, and I will do my very best to stay with it. That's what I want that reader to feel when they read words like that, that
right.
despite the fact that there's big obstacles, and of course there were, things can be changed or rearranged, because that beautiful love between a man and a woman is something that should not be taken lightly or ignored.
Exactly. I think that is so true. And I think, too, it goes to why men and women can appreciate this book, Ruth, because it is written in a way, because no matter what us guys say, we all want that special someone. And like you said, even with Colt,
you
know.
I love that you said that. It's perfect.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. I mean, we sometimes pretend like, well, I don't really care either way, you know, but we do care.
Right.
And I think to be able to see that it's okay to care, but also that it's natural to care. And that says a whole lot about us. You know, I
sure.
love the fact that you tie in the prodigal son element of this, because I think there is this whole thing of time. That is something that comes through in the book with all the characters, I think, Ruth. Do you hope that one of the things that readers take away, other than being entertained by the story, is to realize the importance of making our time here count, making the most of the time that we have, whatever that might be?
Oh, I hope so. I hope so, because I think that's, again, crucial not only to our own happiness, but to something I think that is more intrinsic to our satisfaction, that we make the best use of our time, that God gives us talents and the opportunity to express those talents, or the opportunity to give of ourselves in whatever way. And we need to take those moments and use them to the best of our ability and make things shine. I often think of that simple line from Mother Teresa, how peace begins with a smile. And I love that, because if you move forward and you smile, it's amazing how that ripple effect takes place with other people. And already you've created a moment that can be built on. And I think that's so simple and yet so very true for all of us, that those moments, no matter what they are, being fully present and then putting that smile on our face. Because you know what? I look around and I see that no matter what goes wrong, we are so blessed to be here, so blessed to be in this country, so blessed to have the opportunities that are afforded to us daily. And I just like reaching out and grabbing hold of those, and I want others to feel that same excitement about those times.
Right. I think that is such a good point. I mentioned earlier about the readers that you've been able to garner from around the world, many of which you stay connected with, Ruth, as we all do these days through social media. Among those, though, are also authors that are the favorites of a lot of people, like Karen White, who's been a guest on this program in the past. I mean, what has that
Karen
part
White.
Of the experience been like for you to have others in, you know, in your field, other peers, who also appreciate what you bring to the literary world?
Oh, my goodness. Let me just say that this has been a wonderful enlightenment to be, to come out of this with emerging friendships from so many of these people. Karen White was one of the first authors, she and Lisa Wingate, that I wanted to in my head, it was like, okay, when I grow up, I want to be like Karen White and Lisa Wingate. And I was so glad when they both agreed to endorse this book and read it and loved it, because they write those warm, empathic stories that I like to read. And they're both great ladies. But in the meantime, and this is a great story, and I won't take too long on it, but I am part of a group of authors called, we call ourselves the Seekers, and it's because of the biblical verse, "Seek and ye shall find." When we were aspiring authors, none of us were published, or maybe one was published at the time, we were in all these romance writing contests, which sounds funny, but it's one way to get on an editor's desk, and it's a very competitive business. And we met at a conference, the American Christian Fiction Writers Conference in Denver, back in 2004, I believe it was, and we decided to form a group. And this wasn't just any group. This was a group where we were going to pray each other into publication. Now, anybody hearing that would have laughed. They would have said, yeah, there's 13 of you ladies, and it's not going to happen. And it did happen. It took us about 8 years, but every one of those authors is now a royal published author by a royalty-paying publisher, Tyndale, Waterbrook, Revell. There's a great deal of the publishers among them. And the thing was, we never lost sight of our goal of praying for one another, helping one another through those tricky times authors face, because you get rejections, you get bad reviews. Right. That's just part of the life. But it's kind of nice to have people there that you can spin that off of, and they are like, okay, you've got 24 hours, then you stop whining and you climb back on the horse. And that's what we did. But when we look at it, my husband is just always, he says, that all of you got published. He said, do you understand how amazing that is? And I do, but I totally look at that, and I give that credit right to God, because we just said, no, we will do what it takes, and you just kind of lead the way. So that's been an amazing thing, to be part of this authorhood. But also, when you mentioned social media, I love Facebook. I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
I chat with my readers every day on Facebook. We laugh, we cry, we pray, we do whatever it takes. Today they know that my water heater is broken, and they're all sending me bits of advice, because we're waiting until it gets fixed, because we actually need to have some showers around here. I did discover that my dishwasher heats water. Cyrus, that was huge. I was so excited. I could actually push a button. It's going to heat the water, so I don't have to wash all the dishes by hand.
Right.
And we had a bunch of grandchildren here yesterday, so there were lots of dishes. But I love being able to relate to readers and to other authors and to people, because I'm a people person. So that works out really well.
And it comes through even in this conversation, Ruth, I think. And I think, too, it comes through in the book. And that's, I think that's how you're able to get the people right, the characters right, because they are real. And you're able to deal with things,
you.
Again, that – yeah, exactly, yeah. And they're able to deal with things that all of us know. I mean, we didn't even think, you know, talk about, you know, death and how that is something that all of us, you know, that we face. Mm-hmm. Of course, the characters in the book have to deal with that, you know, the possibility of losing of someone that's loved. But I think the other side of that is that every day, you know, we have the possibility of what might happen that we may not, you know, even be prepared for. And I think, again, it goes
Absolutely.
To, for me, what was the, yeah, it goes to the big message of this book for me, and that is, when something does happen, whatever that thing is, how will you choose to handle it? And where will you look, I think, for the answers? I think that's the other side of this for sure. As people are, you know, are being able to read this book, as we hope that they will then continue to share it with their friends, Ruth, as well as post their review on Amazon, as I'll be doing, what is your hope for them? What do you hope that Colt's story and Angelina's story will do in helping them to think about how they can rebound from their own setbacks?
I think the thing that I would love for most readers to take away from this is how important it is to have sacrificial love, to love regardless, even when it's hard, to open their hearts to joy, to forgiveness, and to humility, because, again, that's a real hard thing these days, to humble ourselves when so much around us is glorified, and it's okay to be simple and humble. So I hope when they finish the book, when they put down that last page, that what they feel is just that sweet, gentle joy and connectivity to faith and to promise that things can get better no matter how bad they look at any one point in time. They will get better, and you just have to hang on, cling, and move forward.
Right. I think that is such a great message, and it's really delivered well in Back in the Saddle. Again, everyone,
awesome.
Ruth Logan Hearn has been our guest. Great conversation with you, Ruth, as I knew it was going
Me
to be
too.
For
I loved
sure.
It.
Well, thank you. She's the best-selling author of the new book, Back in the Saddle. It is available now through our friends at Amazon.com. You heard Ruth mention earlier that she loves to stay connected with her readers. Ruth, where is the best place for them to go to be able to find you?
Well, there's a couple. Like, as I said, I love to chat with folks on Facebook, and I'm there as Ruth Logan Hearn, so it's real simple. I didn't even make it tricky. It's real easy. My website is ruthloganhearn.com. Again, keeping it simple, Cyrus. And I also am part of the Seekerville, the Seekers that I mentioned, our author group, the Seekerville blog. It's seekerville.blogspot.com, and that's a place where we gather with readers and aspiring readers or aspiring authors, and we chat every day. We do giveaways. We like to talk about good, clean fiction, about keeping everybody abreast of what's going on in the writing world and how we can be a presence of just sweet, warm faith in a fictional world out there that's kind of got a whole lot of other stuff going on. So we like to,
right.
you know, uplift our corner of faith in fiction any chance we can. And I'd love to connect with new people. That is just wonderful.
All right, so make sure you all are staying connected with Ruth again through her Facebook page as well as through her website and, of course, through the blog as well. Ruth, congratulations to you again on another great book and
Thank
looking
you.
Forward to our next conversation together.
I will look forward to it as well. We'll have Nick's book coming out this fall, and we'll get to see how the other son reacts to not only the prodigal but to what life hands him.
Ah, so a lot for us to be able to look to for sure. Again, everyone, Ruth Logan Hearn has been our guest for this segment. Make sure you all are staying connected with her through her website at ruthloganhearn.com as well as through her Facebook fan page. We've already tagged it there as well as through her Twitter handle as well, which is just at Ruth Logan Hearn, and she says she keeps it very simple. Again, the new book is Back in the Saddle, available now for you all to be able to get for yourself. For you one-clickers out there, it is available through our friends at Amazon.com, or, of course, for those who like the print edition of the book, you can get it there as well, or have your favorite bookstore order if they don't have it. They'll be glad to do that for you, too. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.